My yellow shirt almost matches my note paper. So, you know, a match up here today. Well, it was good to see you all. I hope you had a good week. As Mr. John Erickson indicated, we have trials from time to time that we have to face, and certainly I hope you faced any that you encountered this week in a positive frame of mind. You know, that's a blessing when you're able to do that. God's plan is really awesome. When you step back, you think about it, you realize our minds have been open to see this. Other people can't quite comprehend it because God has not worked with them with His Spirit to understand the overall plan that He has for mankind. So when I look at the Holy Day plan, I think, you know, it's really awesome to know there is a sequence, there's a way that God is working with us through time, and that He's going to fulfill that plan in the future, and that we have a part in it to be very sons of His. You know, we kept the day of Pentecost not long ago, and this pictured in God's plan the time when Jesus Christ came on this earth and then prepared His disciples, gave the sacrifice of His life, went to heaven, and at that point had God the Father and Him send the Holy Spirit to separate the apostles and to give them the Spirit to help them grow and overcome and fulfill the responsibility they were given. And this began the church, and the church has gone on through the ages, and now here we are in this time span, being called, having given the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us and help us. And so we're here, and we have a responsibility to fulfill. We're looking forward to the fulfillment of the next step, which is the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that will occur at that time of those of us that have been called, that have been a part of the church through this sequence in time. So it is incumbent upon us that we realize the responsibility that we have. Now is our time, the time when we must be responsive to God's leadership in our lives through His Spirit. So it's time now for us to grow in the fruits of this Spirit so that we are more like our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we can go into God's kingdom representing Jesus Christ, and when the people there have the leadership that we don't have in the world today, that's led by God's Spirit, God's mind being with us, then there will be a different world, and we look forward to that time. There's a story that I'd like to share with you today that was in Life, Truth, and Hope, July the 20th, written by Mr. Kylo, the weekly newsletter update. I'd just like to read that story. It was about picking up pebbles. Have you ever picked up pebbles? I don't know whether you read this or not, but I'll read what Mr. Kylo wrote. He said, "A few years ago, I heard this modern parable. A man was walking in the desert when a voice said to him, 'Pick up some pebbles. Put them in your pocket, and tomorrow you will be both sorry and glad.' The man obeyed. He stooped down. He gathered a handful of pebbles and put them in his pocket. The next morning, he reached into his pocket and found, instead of pebbles, diamonds, rubies, emeralds. Immediately, he was sorry and glad. Glad that he had taken some. Sorry that he hadn't taken more." So, you know, you see the situation there, both sorry and glad. He goes on to say, "In this little fictional story are some parallels of something very real. As we walk through the desert of life, a real choice is calling out, or a real voice is calling out to us, telling us to pick up something that is right in front of us, something that we can never get enough of. But whatever amount we pick up, we will benefit from it greatly. The voice says, 'She is more precious than rubies. and all the things you desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to those who walk and hold her hand, and happy are all who retain her. The voice says, she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will preserve you. What is this voice? It is the voice of wisdom, and the words come straight from the Bible. So are we picking up pebbles as we go through life? Are we picking up the gems of wisdom that are available to us that will help us grow in God's grace, in His knowledge, and in His ability, in our ability to fulfill what God has called us to? You know, we're blessed to have this awesome calling, this responsibility that we've been given. So there's a question I would like to ask today. As first fruit, how many pickles? How many pebbles have we picked up lately from God's word of wisdom? How many pebbles have we picked up? They are precious, and they really are necessary for our personal growth and development. So I'd like for us today to look at the process of gaining and growing in wisdom, how that we might grow more fully, because God expects us to. Let's turn to Hebrews, the 5th chapter, and begin in verse 12. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. It's talking about spiritual immaturity. For by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Are we in that state? Have we really taken advantage of God's word the way that we should have, so that we don't need milk, but we are willing and able to take more solid food, correction, instruction, and grow in grace and in knowledge with God? It goes on to say, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. God doesn't want us to remain to be a babe throughout our Christian calling. We're destined to grow. You know, God is a God of increase. It says the increase of his kingdom will have no end. And God wants us to increase with that kingdom now, to grow now so that we can help others in the future. So we have a mandate that's set out before us, that we accept the challenge to grow and to overcome. But it goes on in verse 14 to say, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So God wants us to be wise from the standpoint we understand what is good, but also we understand what is bad, so that we make the wise and the proper choice as we go through life. A tremendous responsibility that we've been given. We know that God's wisdom is based on understanding God's plan. Because when we understand God's plan, we're willing to see the importance of what I'm talking about today, the wisdom that we have, because we see that God has an intent for us to grow, to be in His family, and then to be teachers of others during the millennial period for 1,000 years, so that we can help them come along, so that they can be born in God's family. So He has a purpose. And His plan helps us to see that spiritually and be able to discern our responsibilities. God's wisdom does not change. You know, it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does Hebrews 13:8 say? It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's wisdom is eternal, and it's for us to gather and use to help us and our relationship to grow so that we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ abiding in us. You know, for example, we sang the song about the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation. You know, it is a memorial showing that He is the Creator. And God has thrown aside the Sabbath. They don't recognize God as the Creator of the heavens and the earth and all things that do exist. And not only is it that, but when we think about it and understand the purpose of the Sabbath, we see that it does indeed picture the kingdom and the time of peace when there will be peace and happiness, where there will be real rest for the world, not just a physical rest on the Sabbath day. So these things we need to think about, we need to understand and understand their implication, because they motivate us, they help us to be willing to draw closer to God. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 6, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, talking about spiritual wisdom is the header in my Bible, says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, in the hidden wisdom which God ordained from the beginning of the age for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So we're blessed to have this understanding, the wisdom that is available to us. And God is speaking it to us, and we're able to discern it. But it goes on to say, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. So God's Spirit is what activates our ability to understand and comprehend the wisdom that we need to be partaking of in our lives and growing in. For the Spirit of God searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man in him, which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So we're able to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is righteously judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. So God's mind is to be with us, to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to help us grow in wisdom and the understanding of God's tremendous purpose in our lives. So today, I'd like for us to look at the need that we have to grow in godly wisdom and how we might stimulate that growth. There's a way to stimulate our growth, and we have to understand that we can do that if we yield ourselves to God and let Him work with us. The first thing that I feel that we can do to stimulate our growth in wisdom is to clearly see the need. To see the need to grow in wisdom. To make it a priority in our lives, important to ourselves. You know, if you are an instructor or a teacher in school, you know that one of the basic principles of beginning with a class and getting their attention is to stimulate their need to learn. They have to want to learn. They have to have a desire to be able to learn most effectively. You can cram it down their throat, but they probably won't retain it or get it. But if they really desire that, and the teacher has stimulated his class to understand the need and to want that, then the opportunity is much greater and the success is greater as well. In 1 Kings, the third chapter, we see an attitude that was expressed by Solomon when he was made the king over Israel in his day. His father David had departed, and now it was Solomon's turn to be king. Let's turn to 1 Kings 3 and begin in verse 5. 1 Kings 3 and verse 5. Excuse me. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness and uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne in this day. Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out and to come in." You notice the attitude of humility, a desire to see the need for guidance and direction and wisdom that Solomon had at this time. "And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge the great people of yours?" So you see the attitude that Solomon had. He had a desire for God to help him, to strengthen him, to bring him along to where he had the wisdom that he needed. And we see as we go on through this example that God indeed blessed him with that gift. In verse 12 it says, "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and an understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." So you see what God did, how he blessed him. When he had that attitude, he had that desire, that willingness to come to God, to seek God's way. And in chapter 4 and verse 29, it says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart, like the sand of the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all men of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt." So what a blessing it was for Solomon that his desire was to seek God and seek God's blessing of giving, excuse me, giving him wisdom. This also shows that who gives wisdom? God gives wisdom. You know, we can get wisdom in the world of how to do this or do that or fix this or fix that. But true wisdom, spiritual wisdom, real understanding of the purpose of life and what God wants in our lives can only come from God. So God is the giver of wisdom, and so we must beseech him and desire it from him. If we see the need for wisdom and understanding and desire it in the right way, God can provide it for us just as he did for Solomon. In Psalms 111 and verse 10, one that I suspect most of you know, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So we see as we begin to search and desire wisdom that we must have the proper respect and awe and fear of God. No fear here is defined as reverence or awe or respect for God's authority and supremacy over all things. So if we have that attitude, we've begun the path of development and seeking and receiving wisdom from God. And wisdom is defined as being skillful and wise in spiritual matters in this particular case. So God wants us to have that attitude and that approach as we seek His guidance in our life. You know, godly wisdom is the ability to understand and do what is right in God's sight. To understand and do what is right in God's sight. So we must see the need and have the right motivation of heart to receive godly wisdom. So we need to examine ourselves. Are we really desiring these things the way we should? Are we still partaking of milk, or have we begun to grow and take on the solid food that is talked about there by Paul in Hebrews? In Proverbs 16 and verse 16, it says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold?" Yeah, this is a problem with the world today. The world has the wrong goal. It's seeking material things. It's seeking the gold of the world. And we're not to be foolish to go after that as our prime desire. Our main desire must be to please God and fulfill His purpose for us. It says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver." So God's way of thinking and being and knowing what's real and what's good and what's right is very important to God and to us. God places more value on His wisdom than gold and material things, which indeed will perish. And in Proverbs 19 and verse 18, it says, "He who gets wisdom loves his own soul." So you're taking care of yourself by seeking God and His ways. He loves his own soul. "He who keeps understanding will find good." So things will happen in your life that will be blessings, not only physically, but also spiritually. You will grow and have the spiritual nourishment that you do need. We must see the need for godly wisdom, which will never perish. You know, it'll go into eternity. I think back about creation. You know, you think about, well, where did everything that we see in the universe come from? There was nothing at one time. What was there? It was God, and He had wisdom. And He used that wisdom to create everything that we see and to have a plan for mankind, to bring us into a relationship with Him and to have sons. And then allow those sons to share this great creation that He's made, that He's established for eternity. In 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 18, says, "Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile." In other words, they're not worth anything. They don't last. They're not eternal like what God is offering us with spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then back in Matthew, the 25th chapter, a parable that we're familiar with, talking about the wise and the foolish virgins, we see that The parable points out that five were wise and five were foolish. Five were willing to exercise the need to see God's wisdom in their lives and to seek it and to have it through God's Spirit working with them, guiding them, and helping them. And five were foolish. They didn't think it was that important. So they didn't fill their lamp, as it were, or their being with God's understanding and instruction and wisdom. So we must see the need to grow really effectively in wisdom. See that need in our lives as individuals God has chosen to be first fruits. One of the next points that I wanted to bring out, and the second one that can stimulate our growth in wisdom, in godly wisdom and understanding, is a diligence that I've alluded to already. The diligence of asking God for wisdom, seeking what God has, knocking, as it would say in Matthew 7 and verse 7. It says, ask and it will be given you there. Let's turn to James, the first chapter. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, but who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if we're double-minded, we really are not seeking after it. We have other adventures and desires that we're seeking more than we're seeking God's wisdom. Then we're double-minded and not doing what God would have us do to really solidify God's ways in our hearts and minds. You know, God will provide the wisdom if we ask and we do our part. At the ministerial conference, Mr. Dave Johnson gave a presentation, and he happened to have given a sermon some long years ago, for those of you that have been around here in the Houston area, in a similar mode in times past. But he brought up several things that I thought were interesting, how this might help or stimulate us in developing wisdom from God's understanding from his scriptures. So I'd like to share some of these with you. The presentation was entitled, The Pyramids of Learning. The Pyramids of Learning. How the learning process takes place. How we grow in our learning process. How our cognitive learning process develops from the simple to the complex. So going from milk to meat or solid food. God has built in our minds the ability to learn. And there is a learning process, and they call it the cognitive learning process. It's a physical process that our mind tends to go through. And this process starts off with the lower domain of a, if you put it in the shape of a pyramid and you put one right after the other up to the top, there are six levels of learning that the people that have studied the mind and how learning takes place have shown. The first one is that we gain knowledge. We have a knowledge of a particular subject. God has brought us to the knowledge of his way by looking in his word. We're able to see the truth there. God has opened our mind so that we can understand that truth. We have the ability to remember those things. So we have a foundation of God's word as our foundation of truth in our minds. Then comes understanding, the next level of cognitive development of the mind. Understanding. In other words, you comprehend how these truths that are in this Bible relate to me and how I need to apply them in my life. What I need to do to change, to grow, to overcome. So that's understanding or comprehension. But the next level is very, very important. It is application. Because if you know and then you have understanding, but you don't apply that understanding, then what happens? You tend to lose it, or you're not fulfilling what God intends spiritually from the standpoint of spiritual wisdom, the growth that's necessary. So we've got to apply what we know. The next domain of growth is analyzing. Once we apply these things and we see that they work or they don't work or I misapplied them or so forth, we have to realize that, you know, I need maybe to understand that better and do a little different to grow in that area. Like John Erickson was talking about trials today, you know, when trials hit, you know, how do you handle those trials? How do you handle them? And I heard a sermon by Mr. Hampton that really kind of hit home with me about a situation like that is, he said the important thing about trials and difficulties is what is happening in you versus what is happening to you. God is interested in what is happening in you, how you're reacting to the trial inside. Are you angry? Or have you grown to accept that responsibility and to begin to do what is right and good in God's sight? So the analyzing is the next step. And the fifth step is evaluating. Well, I understand these things. I've applied it. I see where I've gone wrong. Now I need to evaluate my growth in that respect. Am I really progressing the way that I should? And then the last one, of course, is creating. From there, you're able to create by making judgments, to judge situations and circumstances, because you have this background, you've applied the things, you've evaluated the things, you've analyzed things, and so you're able to reach out and take a situation from a spiritual point of view and make a judgment based on God's Spirit working with us. So those six items of the pyramid of learning, of the cognitive domain, can indeed help us, aid us, when we start to study. You know, where do I stand when I start studying a certain area? I know I look at David and his desire to meditate on God's Word, to really understand it in depth, so that he was able to give God the honor and the praise that was due. But let's go through those six steps again so you get them in your mind. Knowledge, accumulation of facts or information. Right facts based on God's laws and ways are the basics of true knowledge. We want true knowledge to start with. Then understanding and comprehension. How facts can work to accomplish a particular purpose. And application, the ability to apply what information I've learned to specific situations. Doing what we know to do. Analyzing, the ability to break down information into component parts and explain their relationship and benefit. We realize how particular things fit in God's plan. Like I was talking about earlier, our time is a time of growth. In the church, it's a time of the church, a time for first fruits to fulfill their growth. Evaluating, the ability to put together various components to show their relationship and effect on others. In other words, if we don't obey in this area, how's it going to affect, you know, our relationship? God is, you know, God is a God of blessings when we obey. And he provides stimulants or curses, you might say, for us to learn lessons. So am I really receiving the blessings that I need to have? And then creating, that's eternalizing God's way in our very hearts and minds. That's his purpose anyway, is to write his laws in our hearts and minds to get us to the point that they are there so that we understand them completely. And we desire those things that we face to be analyzed and used in God's way. An example of these various areas is to consider David, as I've already mentioned. So I'd like to go through Psalms 119 and just look at how David studied and meditated on God's law. The meditation for that particular psalm, Psalm 119, is Meditations on the Excellence of the Word of God by David. Psalms 119. Let's go through a few of the verses in this particular psalm to see how we might react to some of these things. Let's start in verse 2. Psalms 119, verse 2. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. So David is bringing out the point that we need that basic attitude and frame of mind. The whole heart needs to be there. Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. So he had studied God's word. He's hidden it in his heart. He knew God's word. He had that knowledge in his heart and mind. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much in all riches. So he put the right priority. He realized that he now rejoiced in these things. They were important to him. He understood that they were important as riches. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. So he had that desire to know and understand it more deeply. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. So he realized the destiny that we are indeed strangers on the earth, and that we will be transformed and renewed by a spirit body and be in a spiritual state in the future. Verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. So that was a desire that was within David. It goes on in verse 67. Behold, I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. So he understood that when he went astray, he was afflicted. The affliction was to help him get back on track, to get back where he needed to be. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. So he counted trials a joy. He had that understanding that that was a situation, the affliction helped him to come back to God's way. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So he understood that God was working with him. He saw that in the trials and the problems that he had to face in his lifetime. Let's go to verse 96. I have seen the commandments of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. He understood that the commandments were spiritual, not just physical. They had spiritual application. And he understood and he meditated on each of the commandments and thought about those so that he would better understand their application. He said, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So as he went along, he thought about how they applied in particular situations that he was handling that day. Verse 98, you through your commandments made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I kept your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Yes, God teaches us through His Spirit, His mind working with us, showing us our shortcomings, our strengths, and His desire for us in His way. How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though Your precepts I get through Your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And then going on in verse 105, it says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So he used God's word to guide his daily going and coming and his actions, to guide his path, to lead him in the right way. Verse 127 says, Therefore I loved your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Again, back to the point of the importance of the spiritual understanding of God's wisdom versus the wisdom of the world or the desires for riches. Verse 135, Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. That attitude of wanting to be taught. In verse 152, Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Yes, they are everlasting. God's wisdom is an everlasting wisdom. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 165, Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. So they have the understanding that they need to overcome trials and tests that may cause us to stumble or go the wrong way or leave God's way of life. And 172 says, My tongue shall speak of your word, for your commandments are righteousness. David had a depth of understanding that was of wisdom and a willingness to obey God, to be led by God, to set an example of God's way. But he had many, many trials, and he had to deal with those trials day by day, and he used God's law, and he meditated on God's law so that he could use the understanding that he had to make a wise decision. In closing, let's turn to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. Proverbs 4 and verse 5. Says, Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she shall preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to you. So we see the exhortation that is brought forth here by Solomon at the end, that we are to get wisdom and get understanding, to grow in grace and knowledge, to be overcoming and growing, using God's way. So as I conclude, I think we see that God wants us as first fruits, those in God's plan that are being called and chosen now, that have access to God's Spirit, to gain in wisdom and understanding. See the need to grow in wisdom, not being content, but researching and searching out the answers to problems and seeing the answer that God would provide through His Word. And not just to partake of the milk of the Word, but become skilled in wisdom, partaking of the spiritual food so that we fulfill God's purpose to become sons of His. So don't forget, when you have an opportunity to pick up pebbles, let's do it.